You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown, and this is TV BFFs, the podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Now, today we are without my co-host and counterpart, Brandy, but don't worry, she will be back for our next episodes. But for this week, we're discussing a topic that's a bit outside of her wheelhouse, and that is superhero television. So in lieu of Brandy joining in on the conversation, I have two guests with me today. One is a returning guest. You know him from his hit true crime podcast, Shaken and Disturbed. We have John Thrasher. And then we also have a first-time guest. He is a producer, a podcaster in his own right, and a nerd enthusiast. Please welcome to the show, Chris Lord. Chris and John, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thank you.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. When I was thinking about this episode, the two of you are always forefront in my mind. John, we talk about Marvel stuff all the time. Chris, yeah. I know just from shows that you've produced in the past and conversations we've had, a big fan of IP and superhero content. So I'm excited to get into this draft in a little bit. But first, guys, I want to talk about superhero TV in general, right? It's been a high point recently. We had The Penguin and Agatha All Along at the end of 2024. I loved both of those shows. They're on my draft board. How do you guys feel about where superhero TV is right now?
It's been a really exciting year for superhero TV. Like, it's pretty much all I watch. I hate to say that. I hate, because I've worked in TV and like, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I watch a lot of true crime, of course. That's what I do. But
sure.
But yeah, it's been a really exciting year, especially coming off of what I would say were some up and down years the last couple of years, you know? So I would say 24 was a pretty solid year all around. Chris, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like, you know, everyone's always talking about the kind of the superhero fatigue. And I think we're seeing it a lot in the movies, especially. But on the TV front, I feel like this year like really picked things up. Like X-Men 97 was incredible. I loved Agatha All Along. I loved The Penguin. It felt like creatives were getting a chance to really lean into their talents and like the stories they wanted to tell. And it didn't feel like all these things were trying to shoehorn into a larger narrative that people were, one, tired of watching, but two, I think creatives were tired of having to make. So it's been a great year for superhero TV.
That's a good point. It feels like those three that you mentioned specifically have felt untethered from the quote unquote cinematic universes that we've been so accustomed to the last 5-10 years or so in the superhero space, right? Like, I think, John, you mentioned the last couple of years were rocky. I would agree. I think Marvel came out of the gate pretty strong with a couple shows and then kind of stumbled pretty severely with several. And there just hasn't been a ton from DC, at least not on my radar. I know there's been Peacemaker, which might come in the conversation and some other things, but you're seeing more animated shows. Things like Harley Quinn has been pretty popular and successful for a few seasons now. What's the newer animated Batman show? Are you familiar with this?
Cape Crusader?
Yeah, Cape Crusader. I've heard decent things about that. Like,
I liked Cape Crusader a lot. It started out at Max, and like the big thing is that it was produced by Bruce Timm, who created Batman the Animated Series, up through Justice League, like that iconic run of shows. So it was him coming back to it. Matt Reeves, who directed The Batman, was on board as a executive producer, as was J.J. Abrams. It was like there's this huge amount of talent put on it. And then it was one of the very first things that Zaslav cut when he took over. And so all of a sudden it went from being a Max show, it got shopped around, got picked up by Amazon, and it's got some of the same ideas and some of the same creative DNA as the animated series, but it's set also kind of in an ambiguous timeline, but very much clearly meant to be in the past, like around the time Batman premiered in 1939. So it does some new and different things. Like, I really like his take on Harleen Quinzel, but not necessarily Harley Quinn. I love his take on Clayface. It's very stylish, very moody. It was only 10 episodes. I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I know it's come back for second season. You know, I hope we get more of it for a while, and I hope people kind of come around to it. I think it kind of flew under the radar a little bit this time through.
Yeah, okay. Before we get into the draft, guys, I want to give listeners a little bit of perspective of your superhero preferences and the things that you might prefer more, not to tip our hand towards what we might be drafting, but just to like, for instance, you know, we had to do a little bit of rescheduling for this recording. I had mentioned that's great. It gives me time to finish Daredevil because I had a pretty big blind spot of the Marvel Netflix universe, the Defenders universe. I didn't get all the way through all of it. There's so many seasons. Oh my God. Like I was kind of blown away of all of the shows that they churned out during that, like, 5-10 year stretch, but I did, you know, a decent amount of Daredevil. I did Jessica Jones. So, but that was newer for me, whereas I've done all of the other MCU stuff, a little bit more spotty on the DC universe. But then there's also, you know, kind of non-affiliated or more miscellaneous, like The Boys and Invincible and things like that that have been around the last couple of years that I've enjoyed as well. But what about you guys? Where do your tastes generally lean towards, or are you all the way across the board?
I'm very much so. Dan, you and I had a conversation a couple years ago because I started, what got me into superhero stuff was the X-Men animated series and then the movies,
right?
Which you had not seen until, well, the movies you hadn't seen until recently, I think, right?
Isn't that correct? I watched them maybe within the last 18 months, most of them for the first time.
Yeah. That's shocking to me. Yeah. I had the same exact reaction, Chris. Just given how interested you are in this genre.
Well, I had seen some. I saw like X-Men and X2, and then I saw Logan when it came out. So I'd seen here and there, but never again, like the full cinematic universe timeline, epic, you know, story.
How did they hold up watching them now?
Yeah.
Some better than others, but I thought pretty good. Yeah. I thought pretty good. Mm-hmm. I liked the first class stuff a lot more than I thought I would. And I really liked, what's the one where they kind of all cross together?
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past. I like that one a lot as well. Yeah,
that's probably the best. X2 or that one is probably the one everyone says is the best. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, X-Men is where I kind of got started in the superhero stuff. I'll save it for later, but there might have been another kind of TV twist that I think got me into superhero stuff, but I'm going to save it for my draft, as we're calling it.
Yeah. Very smart.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, also grew up primarily on Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always been like my big character. Kind of where I got started in podcasting was making a podcast all about Bruce Timm's universe of Batman animated series, Batman Beyond, Justice League, even the Zeta Project, which I can't imagine is on anyone's draft list.
No,
that's always been don't even know it's about it. I watch it for the podcast. It's mostly terrible. But like, that's Batman was like my big one growing up. Also watched X-Men, the animated series. And I've always been more of a DC person, you know, but then 2008 Iron Man comes out, and then Marvel Studios has like a 10-year unparalleled run of amazing movies, which got me more into other parts of Marvel and the comics, watching some of the other series, some of the old animated series. So it's kind of like, at the end of the day, like, I am a DC fanboy, but I had to acknowledge that there was a long stretch there where Marvel was just making better stuff, and it made me a huge fan. So those are both kind of influences from an entertainment perspective. I have watched most of The Boys, have not watched this season.
Me either, actually.
Yeah, I heard mixed things, so maybe same. I'll just wait until the final season comes out. But like, generally speaking, if it involves superheroes, I'm already interested, and then depending on which hero it is, I'm very interested.
And we're all millennials here, right? Just to be, just to give the listener a time stamp on what we were growing up.
All millennials. All grew up on these animated series. Johnny checked X-Men. Chris, Batman. Yeah. I loved Spider-Man, the animated series, growing up.
Oh, so, that's a good one. Yeah.
Like, and Spider-Man's always been probably my favorite character. Those were movies that I never neglected. Even the Andrew Garfield ones, like, I stayed up with, you know, as they were coming out. I always love a Spider-Man story. So,
hey, he was great. So
yes, he was too.
He was great. The movies were not, but he was a great Spider-Man.
That's exactly it. But he's so charming. He's delightful.
All right, gentlemen, let's get into this draft. The rules are very simple. We will each be selecting 5 superhero television shows. Animated shows are indeed eligible. Miniseries are indeed eligible. As long as there are more than one episode, you can select it. The way a draft works, once a show is off the board, nobody else can grab it. We, as always, will operate with the BFF criteria in mind. So for this episode, that means we each get to draft 2 best shows, 2 favorite shows. And we're going to do 1 forever. So we each get a top 5. So with that, let me get the draft order here.
And while you're doing that, I'm just going to say, a lot of drama over here in Pittsburgh as I tried to figure out what was best favorite and forever for the show. Haven't stopped thinking about it for weeks. I have a draft of where things could go at any given moment. It's a lot for me. But oh, Dan drew himself.
Oh, okay. All right. Suspicious start. All right.
You can see it's up above my head. I'm not looking.
Yeah, I'm triggered.
John has a second pick.
All right.
Cool. Which means, just so we can see, there's no shit. Just to make sure.
Okay, great. Pick. All right.
Here we go.
You never know with Dan.
Honestly, I don't envy being in this first pick situation. I think there's a lot to go with. This is actually a lot more pressure than I thought, because I didn't think I would have the first pick.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't.
This is for best, right? You're going to do your best.
So you can
do whatever
pick thing. Whatever okay. order you want. You can pick Got forever it. First. You can pick favorite first. I'm actually going to go with, it might be recency bias, but we started the conversation with it, and I do want to get it off the board because I really did enjoy it. I'm going to go the Penguin in best.
Ooh, all right.
I'm going to go the Penguin Good. In best. I think that, again, it might be recency bias talking. Mm-hmm. I watched it twice all the way through. That's rare for me, for a season to come out and then to watch it all the way back, all the way through. I thought the performances were great. I liked that you could watch it by itself. You didn't even need to watch The Batman. However, I did really enjoy The Batman, the movie that it spawns from. I like what Matt Reeves is doing with this universe. And I just wasn't confident that it would be available to me coming back around on the turn. And I have some other options and all my other categories that I feel confident I can get later on. So I'm going to go the Penguin as the number one pick. Now, is that controversial?
I don't think it's controversial. I was totally expecting this. And Dan, tell the listeners how many times you saw The Batman in theaters.
I saw it in theaters twice.
Okay, I thought it was more than that. I remember you saying that you saw it.
It's great.
It's really good.
And it's like a 3-hour movie, right? So something crazy like that.
It's 3 hours, and it's like, it's just vibes. It's just 3 hours of Batman vibes, and I love every single second of it.
Yep. I love how dark it is. I love how rainy it is. I love how moody it is. Like, get all of these criticisms out of here. Like, I'm here for it.
I was so glad the movie came out because it was such a great representation of Gotham that I could no longer had to keep saying that Joker, a movie which I famously loathe, I hate the first Joker movie, but I would always say that it at least did have a really good on-screen interpretation of Gotham. And I don't have to get that compliment anymore because a better one came along. Thank God.
Yeah. Now, what did you guys feel about The Penguin as far as how it treated the titular character, Colin Farrell's The Penguin? And do you want more shows like this? They tease they might do a Barry Keoghan Joker series. There's other, you know, could we get a Catwoman perhaps? Could we see more of Sophia Falcone's character?
Like, unbelievable.
How do you guys feel about the show, like the performances, and if you want to see more like this in this universe?
If I can just say, I watched the first episode. I am not someone who can really handle gore. Not that it was gory necessarily, but it was very psychologically gory. Yeah, I just coined that term right here on the show.
I like that.
Thank you very much.
That's good.
And I don't do well with torture at all. So like the whole scene where he's like naked and furry and weird, and they have and they like take the wire up into his arm. Oh my God, I couldn't take it.
You are so good at talking your way out of things, even at the cost of someone else's life. Especially then, right?
What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, my father isn't around anymore to reward you with fancy suits and stupid cars Sophia. And a club that he lets you believe is yours.
Sophia!
It's just you and me now, okay? So I want you to think. I want you to really think. Am I crazy? Is it all in my head? Tell me that I'm too emotional and that I have an overactive imagination and that I shouldn't take things so personally.
But I will say this, I finished the episode. The whole thing between him and Victor, like that whole first episode, the writing of this episode was monumental and mind-blowing. It was so good. Every single word meant something in that first episode, at least. That's all I could take personally. Now, could they, now listen, if they did like a Catwoman movie or a, you know, show, I would be very into that. I love that character. I think there's still even a lot to explore with that character just in general across DC. But I'm curious what you both think about how it represented Gotham. Like, did you feel like it was connective tissue into the Batman? Do you feel like it's a worthy successor in a way that, like, I would say a lot of the Marvel shows really kind of tie into, you know, the greater MCU? Because I didn't finish it, so I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I feel like it's it exists comfortably alongside the Batman. I really enjoyed the show. I think the writing spectacular, looked gorgeous. The performances astounding. Krista Milioti in particular, like I'm so glad.
Oh my God, she was so good.
She got to do this show, and people are finally recognizing just how amazing she is. Like her talent is incredible. One of the podcasts that I produced, we got to interview her, and she was so charming, so smart. She's amazing. So I adore her. Colin Farrell, I think, great as this version of the character. For me, the Penguin is basically, it's all like these characters are in name only. Like that version of the Penguin has almost nothing to do with most iterations of the Penguin. Same with Sofia Falcone, same with like everyone else in her family, most of whom are in The Long Halloween or Dark Victory, which like the two like big Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale comics, a lot of this is based off of. That being said, I was so glad they made it. I want to see more of this. Like I said, I loved the Batman. I feel like it was trying to be even more grounded than Nolan, which I didn't necessarily love that idea. But now that we're also getting a different version in the movies, we're going to get whatever James Gunn's version is in Batman Brave and the Bold. That's going to have Damian.
Right.
Like, okay, the more fun comic book-y version is coming. So now I can just enjoy this for what it is. And this is like,
yeah,
it's a really grounded crime drama. And I love that it gets to be that and not have to try and be like this big umbrella property the way that Marvel, I feel like, is often burdened by now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
point. I totally agree. All right, John, it goes to you. What is your first pick and where are you going to put it?
So, geez, Louise. I'm going to go, I'm just going to get it out of the way. And say for best, WandaVision. Let's just put it out there.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
I know you will, John, and I would have been surprised if you had anything else.
I know, and I forgot I have a Scarlet Witch hoodie and a Scarlet Witch hat, and I meant to wear it today, and I completely forgot until just now. So I'm very upset with myself for that. But yeah, I mean, this was, I think, you know, I've come a long way with WandaVision. I loved it when it aired. I tend to, and Daniel know this as someone who I would talk to a lot about this stuff, I tend to get a little like in the moment excited about things, you know, and then once like the halo, what's the halo effect or whatever that kind of euphemism is kind of wears off, I kind of sit back and I'm like, did I like that show as much as I said that I did? I don't know. Like She-Hulk is one of those examples where I was like all in on She-Hulk every single week. And I would say that show gets a little too much hate than it deserves.
Agreed.
But it's on my long list.
It's fun. I like it a lot.
I agree. Like everyone just shut up and enjoy it and stop picking apart the CGI. Like, come on, like whatever.
The hardest I've ever laughed at an MCU show is where she pretends to be drunk to find out if Captain America is a virgin or not. Like,
yeah, oh my God, that's right.
One of the best end credit scenes in the history of the MCU.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I forgot about that scene too. That's great.
Lots to like there.
Yeah, and so WandaVision, you know, I still love WandaVision. It is, in my opinion, one of the best. I think it was, you know, Emmy nominated for a handful of different categories, whatever. So I think from a critical standpoint, you could look at that and say everyone, for the most part, would agree it's one of the best. I will say this, though. One of my journey with WandaVision is, you know, was I just very, very thirsty in the middle of the pandemic for something that, you know, some MCU thing? Because we weren't able to really go to the theater, I believe, at January 2021. I believe that's when that came out, right? So I do kind of look back on it, and I do wonder if it is as good as I'm thinking it is in my head. I haven't done a rewatch of it, but
I think it is.
I think it is. Yeah.
I think it is too. And I'm putting it in my best because I know it belongs there for me personally. So I think, Dan, I remember us talking a lot about it when we were...
We talked a lot about it. I remember rewatching it as it was happening and then right after. I think it really holds up. I think it is one of the better things. And I think this is kind of critically agreed across the board, right? Like,
yeah.
There's been a lot of misses, but when you say what were the successes in Marvel TV, MCU TV on Disney Plus, the first name out of anyone's mouth is WandaVision. The way it played with the form of television itself as the first foray into television on that streamer, I thought was really cool. You know, going back into different versions of sitcoms throughout Hollywood history. So that told a really good story. You know, the writing was great. Jack Schaefer, you know, who wrote that show, is now just did Agatha All Along. That's kind of continuing that Wanda Vision Westview story. I thought it was great. I think it's a good pick.
It's a really good pick. It's definitely one of Marvel's best.
Good. I'm glad you both agree.
Chris, now we go to you. You're on the turn, so you have two selections here back to back.
Okay, and I get to pick from any category, right?
Yes, any category.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to go for is my forever show. Probably nothing has defined my love of Batman more than the new Batman Adventures, which, like, a lot of times it's just lumped in with Batman Animated Series, but, like, it's really, at the end of the day, two separate shows. When we covered it on my podcast, we covered it separately. Like, I was the perfect age when that show came out. I love everything about it. It has, I think, some of the best episodes across that entire universe in it. It's so much fun. You get the whole Bat family. It is truly iconic for me. Like, I was honestly at a loss if I didn't get to pick that as my forever show, because I wouldn't know what else to pick. I don't think there's anything I've ever watched as much as that. So,
which iteration is this? Just to be clear, I just want to make sure I'm following you. It's not the animated series?
So it's a continuation of the animated series. So the animated series ran in the very early 90s. Then they did Superman. And when they're making Superman, they're like, hey, what if we did more Batman? And so it's when they refreshed the art style. So it looked a little bit closer to Superman. So it's when Batman has, like, the all black bat symbol rather than the yellow and black one. It's the one with Batgirl and Nightwing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm remembering this now.
Thank you. Exactly. It crossed over with Superman a few times.
But to your point, so this does mean that Batman the Animated Series is still on the board. They are two different shows.
It does.
Shows.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I think it's only fair, just making sure
nothing to worry about.
Yes. Totally valid. Yeah, I consider them two different. Most people do as well. Yeah, that is huge for me. And then in terms of best, I'm going to go for the Watchmen miniseries. I think that is just hands down some of the best TV I've just ever seen.
Yeah.
Especially for a property that is so iconic and so hard to just follow up on, right? Like, I have a bit of a soft spot for, yes, the Zack Snyder film, particularly like the ultimate cut that includes the animated Tales of Black Freighter in there. But, you know, it has some misses in it, and DC keeps trying to come out with new Watchmen-related comics, and a lot of it just never works. It never captures it. And I thought that show was doing the sort of storytelling for now that Alan Moore was doing in the 80s, like, in terms of what was in, like, the cultural zeitgeist, what was on people's minds, what was happening politically and socially. All that commentary felt of today. And I think it's just truly incredible. That was, like, my hands down number one for best, with pretty big margin beneath it.
I am slightly kicking myself for not picking it first overall. If I didn't go with the Penguin, it would have been Watchmen.
Fair, yeah.
The issue was I haven't rewatched it since it came out, so it's not as top of mind. I have a feeling that if I had rewatched it in this latest spate of series that I've been watching, it might have gone first. I think it's an excellent show. It's an excellent miniseries. Really well done. I read the graphic novel for the first time right before it came out, which was a really cool thing. I had not seen the movie until somewhat recently. Enjoyed it more than I think it gets credit for, like you were saying, right? Like, but yeah, that as, you know, a Damon Lindelof HBO miniseries to be in this universe, to follow these characters, to do it the way he did, to kind of reimagine what this universe would be like 25, 30 years later from what happened in the graphic novel, I thought was really, really well done and a great pick.
For me, I've heard nothing but amazing things about Watchmen and have never seen it. I've never even seen the movie. Are they the same thing? Help me figure that part out.
No, so the movie is adapting the original comic, and the miniseries is a sequel to the original comic.
Right.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like by the way, we're so nerdy. I just want to point this out. Like, oh, kicking ourselves for not putting Watchmen in certain places. I'm with my people. I love it. But everyone I know that is a super nerd is always talking about how amazing Watchmen is. And I just never really sat down to watch it. And I think it's going to be my next thing. I really should put that in my brain and learn it.
Yeah. And what's great, it's the miniseries. So it's one season and it's a nice, strong, standalone story.
Yeah. I haven't rewatched it, but I remember just the impact it had when it came out was substantial. It's, as I was planning for this podcast, like, I gotta go back and watch that show again.
I know.
Okay, you're losing me, man. And you're not giving me a lot to work with here, Dr. Manhattan. So dinner tomorrow night is gonna be a hard no unless I get some proof.
Do you have anything in mind?
I am interested in hearing more about these 10 glorious years we're together before tragedy strikes.
What would you like to know?
Do we have any kids?
Yes, three, a boy and two girls.
Are they like half gods?
I would never pass my abilities on to someone without their consent.
So that's the thing you can do? Give someone your powers?
I suppose I could transfer my atomic components into some sort of organic material. If someone were to consume it, they would inherit my powers.
So you can put them in this egg, and if I ate it, I could walk on water.
Theoretically, yes.
John, we're back to you. You have another pick here.
Okay, I just want to point out a couple of different things before I say my next thing. We're having a really good time, first of all, right? I think we're not judging each other. Mm-mm. We're all having a great time. You know, we're really thoughtfully like approaching all of these things. I just want to read something for the listeners that Dan sent me before the show, just so I can preface this up a little bit. He says, lastly, a note on the superhero TV of it all. As long as someone in the show has a superhuman power, it is eligible. Shows do not need to have a comic book origin, and animated shows are eligible. So
where are you going with this?
Yeah.
So after we just talked about, well, I'm just letting everyone know, we just talked about Watchmen and like really great storytelling. And I'm about to tell you that one of my favorite shows, Power Rangers, the Mighty Morphin.
Wow.
Power Rangers, superheroes, five of them. Did I always want to be the Pink Ranger? Of course I did. I'm a gay man. I grew up in the 90s. And for me, again, Dan set it up at the start of the show. It's one of your favorite shows are the ones that you hold a place near and dear to your heart. I'm literally reading the email right now.
Yeah.
And for me, it was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They are superheroes. Did they fight giant pizza monsters? Of course they did. And it was amazing. And it really does hold a place in my heart because I loved watching it after school. My siblings and I would always make sure it was like one of the bonding moments, you know, that I had with both of my siblings who are a little bit younger than I am, like just young enough where they were younger and hanging out together. But I was like the older sibling that was too cool for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we would play Power Rangers when I was a kid. So I have a lot of nostalgia. And obviously, let's face it, the Power Rangers have lived the test of time to some degree. Okay, maybe they're not in, you know, the same exact place that they were during the heyday in the 90s. But, you know, there's a huge following of Power Ranger fandom, by the way. So I have to throw it out there. Is it the Watchmen? Is it deep, thorough storytelling? Maybe not. But I had a good time with it, and that's why I've put it in my favorites.
John, you do not have to defend Power Rangers to anyone on this call.
Thank you. I needed to hear this.
I'm right there with you. I didn't even think to include it, but you're right. It is a superhero show. It absolutely fits the criteria.
Yeah.
It's iconic, especially for our generation.
Yeah.
And it is, there's nothing else like it. Like, even though there's so many other things in that same kind of style, it just holds this very special, like, cultural space that nothing can really compete with. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to sleep really well tonight. I know you said that, Chris. I appreciate that.
You looked worried, too. Like you were confessing a deep, dark secret.
Well, you know, coming out of Watchmen, I was like, because I know what Watchmen is. I was like, am I really going to go right into Power Rangers? But, you know, I thought it would be a good juxtaposition.
I love the variety. I think it's great. This is good. Why we do these things. This is why we podcast. Great.
All right, Dan, your turn.
I'm going to pick a show. I'm going to put it in best. This is one that I recently watched. However, it's not a super recent show. I mean, it's last 6-7 years or so. I'm gonna put in best Legion.
Oh, good choice.
Interesting.
The FX show starring Dan Stevens,
Aubrey Plaza.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It's in the X-Men universe. Mm-hmm. It stars Dan Stevens as a, you know, psychic, telepathic, can read minds, move things with his mind, create, you know, worlds in his mind, all of these things. The first season specifically, I just binged all three seasons, and I think towards the end, there was a little bit of diminishing returns. However, I do like the complete story that they told. I thought it was a little overstuffed there in spots, but just the way, and this is a Noah Hawley show, he of Fargo, he's doing the new Alien reboot, one of our best showrunners, I think, working today, really just said, fuck it. And it's basically like, what if Twin Peaks meets X-Men? Like, it's very... That's psycho, psychedelic, yeah. Like, it's a great stoner show. It's like, they'll break into song, they'll break into dance. It's just very cerebral, and I use that word specifically, you know, cerebral.
Yes, nice.
I just liked it a lot, and it did things not only that superhero TV hasn't really done or had, like, the risks taken, I think, were unique, and I think really well executed. And again, that first season is, like, really shook me, like, wow, I didn't know that TV could do this, let alone superhero TV. So for those reasons, I want to pick Legion as a best.
Nice.
That is a great choice. I only watched the first season, never came back around to the rest. I've been meaning to at some point. But yeah, it was weird and intriguing. And the performances, I remember Aubrey Plaza in particular, was breathtaking through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm now going to choose my forever, and I want to make sure to get this. I mentioned it towards the top of the show. The animated show in the superhero space that I grew up on and that I will be selecting as my forever show, it ran for 4 or 5 years in the mid to late 90s. It is Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Solid choice. That's the one you're going to stay with forever on the desert island?
Yeah, I just think episode count is important. Yeah. Totally. I think just the nostalgia buttons that it's going to hit. If you only have one show, I want it one that, you know, connects with that inner child, connects with that nostalgia.
Sure.
Connects with my favorite superhero character of all time. Listen, we're not going to movies. If it was like choose the animated series or all of the films, I would certainly choose the films instead. But we're in the TV realm, so I'm going to go Spider-Man the Animated Series is my forever.
Nice. That's a great one. I remember watching that on Fox Kids, like Saturday morning, whatever it was, you know, back with like X-Men and everything. I remember watching it, but I just don't remember having the same kind of feeling that I did with X-Men, the animated series. But isn't there like tons of Marvel crossover characters in that show? Like, aren't the Fantastic Four in there and like some X-Men from time to time, Avengers?
Yeah, it does have a lot of those. I watched it in its entirety for the first time within the last couple of years. I'd seen episodes growing up. It was not a big one for me in the way that Batman was or John, to your point, X-Men was. But I did go back and watch it because it's iconic. Still holds up. Still very fun. I think it's one of the first shows of that type that was also doing serialized storytelling. Like, there's not really episodic. Like, it really is like always going from one story to the next.
Which I loved.
And it does have lots of crossover. Like, it does cross over with the characters from X-Men Animated Series. They do Secret Wars, and that they bring in Iron Man and Captain America and Fantastic Four. And although I didn't watch a lot of those spin-off animated series, I think they were the same characters.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That
makes sense. That's a good one, Dan. I wouldn't have expected that as your forever, so...
Good, you know, gotta keep the people guessing.
Yeah, keep them guessing. Yeah.
It's a good choice.
Yeah. John, we're back to you for another pick.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad I haven't had any issues yet. I'm going to go with my forever one as well right now. Again, like you said, as long as someone in the show has a superhuman power, it's eligible. This is maybe not as debatable, but for me, I'm going to say, if you'll allow it, Dan,
okay,
my forever show, my desert island show, is probably Stranger Things.
Ooh.
Superhuman.
I hadn't considered this.
You know what?
But Eleven is a superhero. She has telekinesis. She basically has a lot of the same powers as Legion, which I just described. I think, although it wasn't on my list, and I'm upset at myself for not putting it there, I think we have to allow it. Chris, what do you think?
I agree. I had not thought of it either in terms of superhero show, but you're right. Like, Eleven has a superhero origin.
Yeah.
It's no different than you would get out of comics or any of the other shows that we'd have on this list. So, yeah, it counts. And because it counts, Damn it, John. It's a great choice.
That's a great choice.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a really freaking good choice.
Thank you. I'm glad. I wasn't sure how you guys would react to that, to be honest. So I'm glad we were able to talk that through. And not only Eleven, you know, her sister, Callie, from season two or three also has her own powers as well. So there's, mm-hmm. and then, of course, we see everything that happens with,
Vecna. Superpowered villain for
and all
sure.
that. So lots of superpowered stuff going on here. So.
Absolutely.
And yeah, wow. I hadn't even gotten as far as saying that Eleven is a superhero, but you're right. She really is. I mean, when you think of her purpose in the show and mm-hmm. maybe even some of the ways she's protecting her friends in season one, et cetera, you know, she's a superhero. Yeah.
And also too, not to get too into spoiler territory here, but I was obsessed with season four. Love season one, season two. I enjoyed season three was falling off a little bit for me, but then season four really brought it all together. When you see the dynamic and the connection between Eleven and the big bad villain and how they're all intertwined, it does feel very comic book superhero origin, you know, backstory. Wow. Taking us for a ride, John. I like it. Chris, two back to you.
Okay. So now I got to think, I have my forever show locked in. I have one of my best. All right. I think my other best, I'm going to go with the show that I would be surprised if it's on either of your lists.
Okay.
Very small show, only had two seasons. A British show called Extraordinary.
Not on my list.
I have not seen this.
It's on Hulu, and it is like a 30-minute British sitcom. And the idea is that these characters exist in a world where on your, I think it's like your 18th birthday, something along those lines, like pretty much everyone gets superpowers. But they're like the most ridiculous kind of mundane version of superpowers. Is like one of the guy's powers is he can 3D print out of his ass. Or like someone else can commune with the dead, and her job is basically just like a legal assistant so that she can help hash out dead people's estates by bringing them back to have conversations with the lawyers who are now managing it. So it just takes like the most absurdly kind of like banal approach to it. But it is really funny. I think the world building is incredibly smart in terms of treating this like, oh yeah, like this world would be a little bit different. Like it still feels very much like our world. Like everyone still is like, you know, kind of going through the same sort of existential crises and stresses and relationship problems. But it's in a world where these powers just exist all the time. And I think it's getting another season. Again, it's British, so it's short. I think each season's maybe 8 episodes. Fantastic writing, really funny performances. I think, like I said, some of the best superhero world building I've ever seen. And it's an odd little show that I really love and want to show some love to. So
I love it.
Carrie, I haven't got a power yet. I'm not, like, terminal.
Hey, maybe the real power is just being yourself.
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
No.
I know what would cheer you up.
I'm not sad.
Wo bin ich? Oh, God. Not you again.
Oh, hey, Hitler. Yeah, suck a dick. Everyone's cool with interracial marriage now.
Yeah, you're inside my white girlfriend, and we fuck at least twice a month.
Oh, who am I? Let's invade Russia in the winter, because I'm a big dumb bitch.
Ha, 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 ha. Very funny.
Listen, you sold it for me. I want to like watch this right away.
Yeah,
honestly, it's my kind of thing.
Did you put it in your? Did you say favorite or best?
I went for best.
Best. Okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Okay, and then in terms of a favorite, I'm looking through my list here. okay, I think I need to give a little bit of love to something outside of just the DC world because that is, you know, that is my baby. So, I'm gonna go with for favorites X-Men Evolution.
Okay.
Oh, good one.
Maybe my hottest nerd take is I think that show is better than X-Men the Animated Series.
Wow.
Yes.
We might have to fight, I think, on that.
I know exactly what I was saying when I said it.
Yeah. I will say this. Upon a rewatch of X-Men the Animated Series earlier this year ahead of X-Men 97, I was like, this show's interesting. That's an interesting way to write this particular scene. Like, you know, it didn't really necessarily hold up for me the way I thought it did, X-Men 97. But Mm-hmm. I can see what you're saying, actually, about evolution now that you're kind of like talking me through that.
Yeah. Like,
or I'm talking myself through that. Let's be right.
I didn't say anything. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're right.
You're doing all the work.
This is your turn.
Yeah. That's one that I grew up on. I watched it as it aired on Kids WB. It was in the same block, I think, as Justice League, or maybe Batman Beyond, but it was around that same time. So I was already like watching the network at the time.
Yeah.
I think for me, John, what you're describing about X-Men, the animated series, that's some of the stuff that I kind of butted up against when I went to go and rewatch it a few years ago. It's like,
yeah,
the animation itself is patchy at times.
Hmm.
I think the characterization of all of those characters is some of the best we've ever had for the X-Men, but the storytelling is a little wonky. It's like, there are a lot of just like really bad episodes that have like 30 seconds at the end of like an ongoing narrative. So you kind of have to watch it to know what's happening, like in Genosha or whatever.
Right.
It didn't hold up as much for me, whereas it's been probably over 10 years since I rewatched X-Men Evolution. And I don't think it maybe takes as many swings as the animated series.
Right.
It's a little bit of a safer show. But I like those versions of the characters. I like the storytelling in it. I like the designs for a lot of them too. I know it's kind of controversial because we have like, you know, Cyclops a teenager, but like Storm as an adult. And it's like, oh, we're making weird different choices. But I think it holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. From a writing perspective. So
I would agree. I remember watching that when it was on. And, you know, this kind of goes into what I was saying at the beginning of the episode is like, what did it mean to us when we watched it? And does it mean to us now? And are those things different? And how do we assess that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, something like Power Rangers, am I watching it every time now? No, but it meant a lot to me in the 90s. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's where it's landing. Yeah. There you go.
Two unexpected picks. I was not seeing either of those coming, Chris, but I appreciate it. I think they're both great. I love it.
Those are great.
John, back to you.
Okay. I have one best left and one favorite left. While we're on the topic of X-Men, I'm going to throw X-Men 97 as a best for me.
Yep. I like it.
I have to throw it in there.
Good choice.
Especially the way we talked about it when it was on and the way you talked about it.
Totally.
I didn't want to leave it for you, but I would have felt weird if you didn't get it, you know?
Thanks. I appreciate that. No, I do really appreciate that. And I will say this, like I was saying, I think I said this at the top or right before we started. I have a whole list of other shows that were all in different positions as I was drafting here. And this was a tough one because I think there are a couple others that could have really fit that bill up there at the best. But X-Men 97 and was just like the character writing of that show was just
incredible.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and I'm at work talking to people like, have you seen X-Men 97? Someone was like, I don't watch cartoons. I'm like, it's not a cartoon. It's a very well written animated series. How dare you call it a cartoon?
Yes.
I'm like, hello, this guy has lasers out of his eyes. Yes. However, there's really good storytelling happening. And the Gambit episode that I'm forgetting the title of was just of all, not even just animated television. I think of all television, I've never quite personally just felt so kind of like moved by a character and their development and what they were doing and the sacrifices and the raw feeling that was coming across in animation of, you know, like Rogue in those scenes afterwards and stuff.
Gambit, see your bet and raise it. Cause the cards always be in my favor.
Mutant intruder neutralized.
The name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it.
Yeah, X-Men 97, I had to put it in the best category because it's just, you know, almost like a perfect show in a lot of ways. I mean, there aren't many notes you can give to that show, just objectively speaking, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Nope. 100% agreed.
Maybe the one episode, the one half an episode where Jubilee goes like inside the video game. Other than that, I really had no notes.
Yeah, that's fair.
that is a fair critique.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's still, and like, yeah, visually so stunning. And John, I know what you mean. Like, that is, I think, one of the most emotional shows that I've watched
for
in a long time, where it's just like the big Genosha episode, like the big pivot show. Somehow I made it without getting it spoiled.
Oh, good for you.
And I watched it like the night like after it aired, but like even a day can be enough to like ruin something on the internet. I didn't catch a whiff of anything. And I'd actually just reread that Grant Morrison run that it's inspired by, and I was not expecting it to go there, and then it did. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was amazing. And there's so many, you know, like so many metaphors for certain marginalized groups. And I think it should, you know, listen, the creator of the show, Beau DeMaio, some controversy around him, whatever. But I think it's worth mentioning that having a black gay man run a show like this, full of characters that are, you know, by their definition, kind of othered throughout, you know, the development of their characters, both in the comics and everywhere else you've seen them.
Sure.
I think really contributed to the success of this show. I mean, gay people all go through something, you know, we all have our different journeys through different times in our lives. And I think especially for gay people, X-Men 97 just really, in my opinion, just really spoke to me and pretty much everyone else I know that is gay or
same,
you know, in whatever group you want to sort of apply to it.
I would agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great pick. Honestly, kind of shocked it fell to the 11th pick in the draft. I thought X-Men 97 would have gone much higher, but I'm glad you got it, John.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. I didn't know where to put certain things, but I think I'm doing a good job so far. Thanks very much. Yeah.
I love it. So now these are my last two picks. I have both of my best and I have my forever, and we'll do a recap at the end. So I have two favorites to pick, which I like because favorite to me can come in many different ways, shapes, and forms. And the two shows I'm going to pick, I think, might illustrate that. The first one I'm going to pick is something I mentioned earlier because I didn't want to do all of this homework and have it be for naught. And I'm so glad that I enjoyed the show as much as I did. And that show is Daredevil.
Oh.
I think I'm going to pick Daredevil in the Marvel Universe as a favorite. I think what I'm realizing is that I really enjoy this Defenders saga, this Hell's Kitchen, New York City, more street level. I really enjoyed Jessica Jones that first season. Was considering giving it a pick, but I haven't seen enough of the next two seasons to make sure that would be a bulletproof pick. But Daredevil I've seen the first two seasons. I've heard the third is excellent. I'm excited to get to it. Even the second season that was a little bit more critically panned, I really enjoyed with the Punisher and Elektra in there. I thought it was really cool. Is it the best thing I've seen? No, it's not. Does Foggy absolutely get on my nerves every time he's on the screen? He certainly does. But I like this universe. I really like the character. I like the grit and the grime of the way that they're, you know, rendering the story. It reminds me of Penguin a little bit. It reminds me of Watchmen a little bit. Kind of that darker tonality, which I really enjoy and appreciate. So I'm going Daredevil as my first favorite.
I haven't watched that version, Daredevil, for Netflix. However, I'm a huge Charlie Cox fan.
Yeah. Right?
In the sense of looking at him.
Oh, yeah.
He's handsome. But also, I will say, I think it's interesting because as the MCU has rebooted, we know that Daredevil Born Again will be probably another great hit,
Coming back, yeah.
You know, there's something to be said about that show being so good because they did bring in the talent from that show over into the MCU and hired them and rebooted the show. So they didn't do that with everyone.
And it's provided a few threads. We've seen Kingpin show up in Hawkeye and in Echo.
Yeah, he was great.
Daredevil was in She-Hulk.
Daredevil's in She-Hulk. That's right. That's what I was thinking.
Great appearance in that show.
Really well done. And that's actually what really inspired me. I'm like, if this is the Daredevil I'm going to get, this is good. I really want to go watch this show. It's not quite the same vibe. It's certainly way more comedic, but I think it works. But yeah, I'm excited for Born Again later this year.
And No Way Home, I just remembered.
He's in Spider-Man. I'm
a super fan of Charlie Cox. Yeah.
So John, on your list now, you have Extraordinary and you have Daredevil to add to your list.
Yes, and Watchmen. I do want to watch
and Watchmen. Too. Yeah.
These are. I have a lot. I need to.
This is good.
Yeah, I need to subscribe to everything. It sounds like. Yeah.
My final favorite show.
Here we go.
I'm so excited I get to pick this. I was pretty certain neither of you would take it. But
I'm trying to guess.
You know, I'm always pleasantly surprised. But this is a network television show that came out in 2006, and it is titled Heroes.
Heroes. I was thinking
no
it
shit.
Might be
All right.
I
okay.
loved Heroes when it was on. It kind of okay. took. I don't know if it took the nation by storm. That's probably a little bit strong. But in an era where network TV still was king in 2006, in a lot of ways,
it kind of did. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say it did. Yeah.
Like it introduced us to Hayden Panettiere in a lot of ways. We got Milo Ventimiglia pre Jack and This Is Us and. A lot of great characters. Who was the villain? The villain was freaking, let me...
Zachary Quinto.
Yes, Zach Quinto was in there. Yeah. Greg Grunberg is in there. Like, really great cast. It was kind of the thing that reminded me how much I liked superhero content because it had been a while. Mm-hmm. I think I was in college when it came out. You know, in high school, you kind of get away from the things you really enjoyed as a kid. And this reminded me like, oh, people with superpowers fucking shit up with a good versus evil story with some twists and turns and mysteries. Like, this is really good stuff. And I loved it. I don't know if I watched it all the way to the end. It kind of went on maybe a little bit too long there. And then there was a spinoff. But those first two seasons specifically, I really remember loving and obsessing over and reading recaps and all that stuff. So I'm going to pick Heroes as my final slot here and my last favorite.
Solid choice. Like I did think about Heroes when I was going through the list because that first season, there had kind of been nothing like it.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been anything like that level sense like it was network. Like I did feel like kind of everyone watched it and it brought superheroes into kind of a more mainstream space, and it was bold in its storytelling. Like it wasn't afraid to kill off characters and to take big swings and to have shocking moments.
Peter Petrelli,
what are you doing? This,
you look different without the scar.
I don't know you.
Not yet. My name is Hiro Nakamura. I'm from the future, and I have a message for you. The girl, you have to save her.
What girl?
The cheerleader. It's the only way to prevent it.
Prevent what?
Everything. Listen to me. She must live. Be the one we need.
Wait! Save the cheerleader, save the world!
Yeah, when you said Heroes, I got a little sad because one of my roommates in college at the time was obsessed with it. So much so that he bought me the first season on DVD so I would watch it and we could talk about it. And I never did end up watching it.
Oh, no.
Isn't that horrible? What is wrong with me? In fact, I probably still have the DVDs somewhere. I should go dig those up.
You should. Yeah. Do you have anything that can play DVDs?
No, I don't. That's another thing.
No,
find an old laptop and watch that standard definition television show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, you're right, Dan. That was such a huge cultural television show for sure. It was on NBC, I believe.
It was. It was an NBC
show. Was that
show.
One of those shows that suffered the surprise last minute cancellation and so the last season didn't have the type of payoff, or am I making that up? Was that a different show?
I'm not sure, but I'm certain just based on the timing, it probably got two seasons then was hit with the writer's strike, which I'm sure many shows of that era.
That might have season been through a wrench. Two got cut short.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I remember.
Yeah. Season two was like half as many episodes or something like that.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So that brings us back around to John with your final pick of the draft.
Oh God. Okay. So back at it again. With my, I really didn't intend to keep picking these shows that aren't traditionally superheroes with capes and lasers out of their eyes, but I thought of this show in the same vein as Power Rangers as I landed on Power Rangers, and it really was such, I would say that this show is probably the show that may have set the first snowflake, if you will, into the avalanche of my obsession with superhero comics and TVs and movies. And that show is, and this is my favorite, this is the second one in my favorites, is Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Captain Planet. Oh.
Wow.
If you'll allow me to consider it superhero, you know, these are people with superhuman abilities, these five rings and
certainly,
you know, Earth, Fire, Wind, Water, Heart. Did I always want to be Linka with the power of wind? Of course I did. would I wear blankets around my house when we would play Captain Planet and when I was Gaia, the spirit of the Earth? Of course I did. This is my gay coming of age was Captain Planet in a lot of ways. But, you know, this is one of those shows that I remember coming home and watching after school, and I loved it. And I always thought, what would it be like if I had one of these powers, etc. And obviously, you know, they're a superhero for the planet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Superheroes yeah. for the planet. What better superheroes can you ask for than that, to be completely honest with you? So I hope you guys will allow that to add to the list of favorites.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Captain Planet, I think, certainly makes the cut.
Also, yeah. one of the best theme songs. You know what I'm saying?
As soon as you picked
maybe
it,
the best theme song.
It dinged in my head.
Yeah. Of all the shows we've covered, it might be the best theme song. And we have on there Power Rangers. We have Spider-Man, the animated series. Like, right. we have some really good themes. And, I'm sorry, it's Captain Planet.
Yeah,
I agree with you there. I agree with you.
All right. With our last pick in the draft, back to you, Chris.
Yeah. Okay, so I have one favorite left. And I have like an abundance of things to choose from.
Yeah, there's a lot that didn't get picked. We'll scroll through honorable mentions here.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like teenage closeted me would be very pissed off if I did not pick this show, because may not have had the same sort of impact on like my like cultural taste, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. But it definitely had an impact on my sexual awakening. And that is, of course, Smallville.
That's
good. Tom Welling.
That's a good one. Yes.
In Smallville still might be one of just the hottest people I've ever seen.
For sure.
Like, it is definitely one of those shows that, like, started out pretty strong, monster of the week, like a sprinkling in of some Superman mythology. It then got really insane. I stopped watching it. And then in college, actually, I went back and finished it out. It picked up again towards the end, like the last few seasons, when he started to like be in Metropolis with Lois and taking on more like heroic roles. And as it was building towards him being Superman, I thought it actually got quite a bit better. It kind of swung back around. Plus, I think to this day, the best Lois and Clark dynamic is those two.
Oh,
I think Erica Durance is maybe the best on-screen Lois Lane we've ever had. I'm sorry, Margaret Kidder. I know you're the original, but I think she perfectly captures just like the personality of Lois Lane. And I love their interplay in particular. So it had to be that. I can't call it a best. Yeah. It's definitely not a forever show, but it has to be a favorite.
This is what favorites are for. I love it.
Yes,
it's like, exactly. I love that.
This is basically the "What Show Made Us Gay" episode, I think, is what it's called.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's fine. We can live with that. I want to say Tom Welling is in that same category with like the Ian Somerhalders, the James Marsden. Like, mm-hmm. they were all going in for the same types of roles. They all look very similar.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's extremely attractive. I agree. That's a great one.
Still a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
What are some honorable mentions that were surprised were not picked? John, I'm shocked that you didn't pick Agatha All Along.
Yeah, I know. I was such a huge Agatha All Along fan. You know, this was another, the reason I bought, this was, Agatha was in my, I want to say, no, Agatha might have been in early drafts in my best category, because I went through a couple different iterations. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, this is another example I was kind of mentioning earlier, where I'm like, did I love the show as much as I did at the, in the moment? Do I still love it as much as I did while it was airing? You know,
is the show as good as the experience of watching it almost? Mm, you know,
that's the way of putting it. Yeah,
exactly. And specifically, I was just talking to somebody about this recently. What some of the most well-received, at least Marvel shows, and I'm sure others, but especially Marvel shows and movies, are the ones that develop a mystery throughout the arc of the project that make mm-hmm. you want to go watch the YouTube videos or listen mm-hmm. to the podcast like ours, which, if you're not following Dan's show, what are you doing? And, you know, have the conversations at work with your coworkers about how amazing it was. You know, Game of Thrones is another kind of example of this that didn't come up that I thought might pop in here today. To some degree. I don't know if it's superhero, but anyway.
I would have vetoed that one.
You would have vetoed that one. Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's true, because none of them had powers, really, did they? They're not superheroes. I agree.
Right.
Nonetheless, what I'm trying to say is now that I'm out of the Agatha All Along halo effect, I am looking back at it and I'm like, I did love the show. The character, the writing was incredible, but I'm happy that it ended the way that it did and within those 9 episodes. And like, you know, so I'm just wondering if I just got caught up in the like theorizing and predicting and stuff like that. So that's why Agatha didn't make
it. But that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun.
It is, and that's totally part of it.
And like, maybe it's not a best and you certainly want to watch it forever, but that sort of experience to me makes it for favorite eligible, you know, whether you pick it or not. That's the sort of experience I like with a favorite show.
And like WandaVision and Loki and a lot of the other kind of well-received Marvel shows are I'm just saying they all have that same kind of what's going to happen next week vibe that keeps people hooked in. And so that's why.
I do think Agatha has been one of the best Marvel shows. Like I think it's excellent. Loved the, like at the end of the day, the story itself was pretty simple, but it allowed a lot of room for creativity in terms of the characters, in terms of the individual episodes. I have a nostalgic spot for anything that's clearly filmed on a soundstage. And I loved like it was on a soundstage and like the artifice of it. I love that like even Aubrey Plaza's character like kind of shines a light on it a little bit. Like it's almost like a kind of fourth wall break at one point about the fact that it's just like a wallpaper.
That's right.
Right.
And Catherine Hahn is
so talented.
So incredible.
National treasure. Yeah.
One of our best actors. And
I agree.
That she got to do something where she's just having fun. Everyone seemed to be having fun all the way through.
Right.
It was a very serious contender for me, both best and favorite. It was kind of like those were in the background in the event I needed to go for something I couldn't have sought out initially.
That was close for me.
Great. Same.
Surprised. I mean, I understand because you went with New Batman Adventures, but Batman Animated Series stays on the board.
Yeah.
That was on my list.
The Boys stays on the board. I thought one of us might grab The Boys.
I want to give a shout out to Harley Quinn, the animated series.
Which I've heard that's really
might
good.
Be the funniest show on TV right now.
Okay? I've heard that. Yes,
I like
I've
that. Heard that
as well. It is so, so smart. And it, how do I phrase this? Like, it's never dismissive of those characters or the canon, but it does go in weird, unexpected directions. And it also finally gave us a reason to have appreciation for Tom Hardy's Bane, a character that I generally do not have a lot of love for. Yeah. But now we get James Adomian making fun of the Tom Hardy voice in that show. And it is consistently so funny. Like him doing that voice, you can say truly say anything in that voice. And it is hilarious.
That's awesome.
That's a good one. I will. Can I add one last thing too?
Yeah.
I had this in early iterations. I eventually moved it out when I landed on some other stuff. But the 1960s Batman television series.
So much fun.
Love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that. That was, exactly. If you had like a classic type of category here, Dan, I think I would have put it in there. Listen, first of all, again, not to make everything about my sexuality. However, Burt Ward in tights when I'm like, 10, 11, 12, 13, I just had thoughts, you know what I mean? So what can you do?
John, you've heard the iconic story about Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler, and of course, Adam West. Have you heard the story about the time they went to an orgy and got they got kicked out of an orgy because they saw each other and stayed in character?
Oh my God. Is that true?
It's sort of an urban legend. It's also any story from the 60s. Who knows if it's true or not? But like, you could believe that those two guys would just have stayed in care for the entire time. Eventually just told them to get the fuck out.
Oh, that's hilarious. God. That's amazing. Thank you for telling me that.
Real quick, let's run through each of our lists just to kind of recap what we picked. I'll go first. So in my best superhero television, I have The Penguin and I have Legion. My favorite superhero shows are Daredevil and Heroes. And I pick Spider-Man, the animated series, as my forever show.
Excellent. Yeah, for me, my best were WandaVision, X-Men 97. My favorites were Power Rangers and Captain Planet. Don't at me.
Nice.
And my forever show is Stranger Things.
Nice. God, great choices. Yeah.
Thanks.
My bests were Watchmen and Extraordinary. My favorites were X-Men Evolution and Smallville. And my forever show is the new Batman Adventures.
I love it. It's a great list. What are we looking forward to coming up? Because as we know, the superhero content machine will always churn, for better or for worse. But I do think there are some interesting things on the horizon. We mentioned Daredevil Born Again. I have my eye on Lanterns.
Yes, excited for that.
Another Lindelof dip into superhero, right? It's a Damon Lindelof show. Am I correct there, right?
Yes.
Starring Kyle Chandler, one of my favorite humans of all time, speaking of sexual awakenings. Hello, Coach Taylor.
Love it.
What else, though, for you guys? You know, as far as what's coming up, we have Ironheart, Eyes of Wakanda, Marvel Zombies, Wonder Man, Vision Quest, which was just recently announced, which will be the third part in the WandaVision, Agatha All Along kind of ongoing story there, which is pretty cool. And then on the DC side,
if they can maintain the quality there of those previous two, I'm very excited for that.
I think, you know, just to make it kind of a short little thought here, is I'm just excited that they're exploring the witch supernatural element corner of the MCU, because it's so rich, full of exciting characters and exciting on-screen effects. And it seems to me, I mean, I follow some of the scoops and rumors that they're pointing towards a Scarlet Witch resurrection of some sort, or multiversal thing.
I was just going to ask, will she be back in some way? I feel like she
It seems like she will.
Inevitably.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting to me. So whatever Vision Quest is, whatever, you know, listen, the Agatha, just today, the Nielsen ratings came out for Agatha. It made it onto the overall chart for Nielsen top 10, which is really good news. Which is really good news for that show, in terms of like, maybe we're going to get another season of that. Are they going to turn the Young Avengers project into a Wiccan project, which I'm a huge Wiccan fan, so I would really love to see that happen. Joe Locke, by the way, let's give him a little bit of some flowers here. I thought he was just incredible. And this is only his second project ever. I'm like, how are you this talented? But I'm excited about where they're going to go with that. I don't know if Vision Quest will be next year. I think it might be the year after that.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's still a little ways out.
Because they haven't even filmed yet or anything, or even casted it.
That is one that I'm hopeful for. Like, on the DC side, I liked Peacemaker season one. It wasn't one that I'd say that like I love, but it was weird and it was fun.
Yeah.
And I think John Cena has this perfect level of self-deprecation in pretty much every character he does, where he's just very charming and is willing to poke fun at himself.
Mm-hmm.
Creature Commandos is the first project in like the new official DCU, and reviews are starting to trickle in. Very positive reviews.
Okay.
It's like, that's a thing that I would normally not care about, but it's getting positive reviews, and it's the kickoff of this thing that I'm very excited about. I know Dan, you have on this very thorough list, Booster Gold, which I was like, I know the rumor is that Camille Nanjiani is playing it, but I can't seem to find confirmation anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Of that. Yeah.
I think that was a rumor. It hasn't been confirmed yet.
I hope it happens.
Yeah.
He would be a perfect Booster Gold. Like, if he were cast as that character in that show, skyrockets the top of my list of things to watch.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, some good things to look forward to. I love this. We all have new assignments, new things to watch, new things brought to our attention, which is great.
Homework.
Thank you so much, John Thrasher. Thank you so much, Chris Lord, for joining today. This has been an absolute blast.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you haven't already, check out our latest episodes. We recently had our end of 2024 TV draft, and we'll be back soon with more. For instance, we're going to be discussing The Traitor season 3. We're going to dive into Saturday Night Live now that it's in its 50th season. We might even do a dip into Alone, long-running survival series. We're bouncing all over the TV board. So keep checking in. Give us a follow. Leave us a review if you're enjoying the show. Share us with your TV-loving friends and family. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.